forgotten about Nebuchadnezzar. What happened to the guy? He left him out there in the field, streaked with dew, naked, eating grass with bossy. You stranded the poor guy. 7 seasons, Martin. 7 seasons. We need to find out what happens to him. What's his sequel? No, ladies and gentlemen, I have not forgotten about our friend Nebuchadnezzar. As you know, I weep for him. I've been weeping for him out there in the night mists, eating herbage without the proper salad dressing, no croutons. The cows didn't have croutons, so neither did Nebuchadnezzar. And as you know, I feel deeply. It's true. I'm not joking with you at all. Human trauma tears me up. Can't stand it. Wish this eon would wind up. Tired of my personal issues. I'm tired of the world's issues. It's just like, I remember one of Woody Allen's lines in Annie Hall. He says, how can I be happy when there's one guy starving, or there's one guy who's hungry? How can I be happy? I mean, this is impossible. Remember his favorite topic was death. You really need to get this book on death. Everything's doom and gloom. I simply can't be happy when all these people are suffering. I understand that. But we have to. We owe it to God to live. As Jesus said to his disciples, there will be poor always. One of the great lines from Jesus Christ Superstar, Judas is all concerned that the woman who came in and broke the bottle of perfume at his feet, he was all concerned about how much money it cost. We could have used this money to feed the poor, to give to the poor. And what did Jesus say? Well, in Jesus Christ Superstar, of course, it's taken off of Scripture, there will be poor always, pathetically struggling. Look at the good things you've got. Think while you still have me. Move while you still see me, because you'll be lost and you'll be sorry when I'm gone. So even though you're surrounded by poverty, we do what we can. We give. We're liberal contributors. Those who have wealth in this era are to be liberal contributors, according to the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 6. But you can't be wringing your hands and whining like Woody Allen all the time. Because if you go to Babylon, when you're in exile in Babylon, you're supposed to continue to plant. You're supposed to continue to marry. You're supposed to continue to prosper, because your prosperity will be the world's prosperity. And this is true with us too. Even though we're in a foreign land under a foreign administration, and I'm not even necessarily talking about the Obama administration here, the Earth's administration, any potentate on the Earth is a foreign one to us, because ours is in the heaven. Nevertheless, we are to go about our business. We are to work as unto the Lord. Now you see why Paul says that, because we are exiles. Do your work as unto the Lord. Say, I just can't work for an evil administration. Then don't. Work for the Lord. He's the one you're working for. You see the new mindset we're having? You see how you're looking at the Obama administration, or you're looking at human government in general. You're looking at it, but you're also looking through it. And you're seeing God's hand. But if you think that God is at cross purposes, is operating independently, or that the world's leaders are operating independently of him, or that he's lost control of his universe, things have flown off out of control, and he's scrambling through his file cabinet for plan B. If you think that, then you're going to be constantly jarred in your mind. You're going to have this brick wall of thinking. Every time you try to find peace with a government, here's the key of finding peace with evil government. It's the same key Jeremiah gave to the exiles in Israel. Work as to the Lord. He's still your God. And plant, prosper, marry. I'm going to read these specifics of Jeremiah's letter to the exiles. And yes, I'm applying it to us, because I happen to think many truths in here are trans-administrational. Love to use that word whenever I get the chance. That is, they apply to that administration, and there are truths that apply to ours as well. We're going to see parallel passages in Paul, in all their alliterative glory. Parallel passages in Paul. Because I do see a parallel with Paul in Romans 13 and Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 29. You heard it here first. I see a parallel between the exiles in Babylon and we, members of the body of Christ, living in an administration known as the era of the nations. So here's practical advice Jeremiah gave to the exiles. Marry and have, oh, first of all, build houses, settle down. We talked about that yesterday. Settle down. Literally and metaphorically. Settle down into your homes. Settle down in your spirit. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Keep sustaining yourself. Do those things that you do every day by habit. Don't let your habits change. And this, have lots of sex. And this is my advice too. Gardens, I told you I'm not too thrilled about gardens. I'm happy if other people plant them and then I can eat. That works for me. But this, marry and have sons and daughters. That's verse 6 of Jeremiah 29. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Have sex and lots of it. No, that's what I'm getting from this. Sex is a wonderful gift given to us by God to help us through. And I really do keep saying this. But, life is hard, and we're going to get to heaven one day, and we're going to tell God about how hard this life was. And we're going to complain, and God said, I gave you so many helps, things to get you through that you didn't use. All right? Salads, that's among them. Plant, water your gardens, and procreate. Increase, don't decrease. Martin, you're so base. This isn't about sex. It's about producing more people. It's about enlarging the kingdom of Israel. Well, if you're going to go down that road, you could say that, yes, enlarge the territory, enlarge the people in Israel so that someday you can amass an army and take it over. This is what Pharaoh was afraid Israel was going to do in Egypt. They were getting to be so many of them because wherever they go, they procreate like rabbits. And he was afraid of a coup. He was afraid they were going to one day, mutiny, take over the ship. It didn't happen, did it? No, they walked out quietly. Likewise in Babylon, the purpose of producing children is not to amass an army, but to live your life, to continue to live and do things you normally do as unto the Lord. Don't forsake pleasures. Yes, that's right. Don't forsake legitimate pleasures that God has given to the sons of humanity. Increase, do not decrease. Verse 7, this is a tough one. I'm going to squeeze this in before the end of the week. Told you to eat salad, have sex. Those are the two pieces of advice I'm giving you now, because I'm basing this on Jeremiah. Plant gardens, eat what they produce. So eat salads and have sex. Number 3, this is the hard part. It's easy to eat a salad. It's easy to have sex. This is difficult here. 7, also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you, can't emphasize that enough, into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Wow. You are to work for the good of your oppressors. That's right. It's that tough to do. And this requires the Spirit of God, because really it does end up being selfish, doesn't it? And I kind of like this because it's an out. It allows us to, Jeremiah's texting me now. Am I right? I know. Yes, I would have used a concordant version, but I don't have it on me because it's in 5 volumes and they're very heavy and I don't have a wheelbarrow. Thank you. Yes, I know it's a terrible version. I call it the new inconsistent version. Good. I'm glad I'm staying true to your original intention, sir. Now, can you leave me alone? I'm going to finish this show. Okay. So, seek the peace and prosperity. It ends up being selfish because pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. I like the fact that God recognizes the fact that we humans really are not so noble, even in our most so-called noble moments. We always do things to make it better for us. Even when I'm sacrificing, supposedly, for somebody else, I'm doing it because it feels good to sacrifice. So if you want things to go well for you, and Paul did too. We're going to look at Romans 13 next week. Paul wanted people, which is us, this day, and us, to live mild and quiet lives. That's selfish, isn't it? You want to live a mild and quiet life? Well, there's a way to do it. I'm preempting Romans 12 and 13. And that is to pray for those in power. And that's why I say I see such a parallel here between Jeremiah 29 and Romans 13. Closing this week with Jeremiah 29, Monday, yeah, I'll go ahead and unfold Romans chapter 13. Seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. People say today, yeah, sure, Martin, we can do that if this city is good, if the government is good. What if the government is evil? And I've been told many times, if the government is evil, we are no longer beholden to that government. We are no longer required to obey and seek the prosperity of that government. I remind you that here in Jeremiah 29, the government being spoken of, the administration being spoken of, is none other than the administration of Nebuchadnezzar, the man who came into your city, sacked it, raided your temple, and carried your wise people and the rest of the people off to Babylon in chains. That guy? That's the government we're to seek the prosperity of? Yes. How the heck are we supposed to do it? Here's my advice. Fake it until you make it. I'm going to put that on your list for this weekend. I want you to seek the welfare of an evil administration. And you know we have one. In any era, it's all relatively evil, isn't it? As long as we're on this planet. I want you to seek its welfare and to pray for its presidents, for its prime ministers, and all those who are in authority. Am I crazy? No. Is this easy? One of the hardest things you can ever do is pray for your enemies and seek their welfare. But there is much fruit to come of it. To you, to your enemy eventually, and to the celestial beings who are literally looking at us right now. And in jaw-dropping awe, they are amazed at the grace of God that we are showing our enemies. This, above all else you can do, will stun the celestials and the inhabitants of earth even, to show grace and peace to your enemies. God showed it to us, and now because of the love and the grace that He first showed to us, we now show it to others. This is the power that will eventually change this world.